الله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، وباعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى، تبارك وتعالى. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على خاتم النبيين وسيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين، الرسول المؤيد والنبي الممجد، المصطفى الأمجد، أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، لا سيما على الإمام المنتظر وحجة الله الثاني عشر ابن العسكري المنتظر، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين، من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فإن الله الصادق العليم قال في كتابه الكريم القرآن الحكيم: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حتى إذا فتحت ياجوج وماجوج وهم من كل جدب ينسلون. صلوات Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Due to the unforeseen and probably unfortunate weather conditions, there has to be a slight reshuffle of the program and the schedule. And as we are sitting over here to discuss my topic, which was scheduled at another venue, the change of program would be like this: that the entire majlis would be going on in English, but the masaib will be conducted in Urdu to cater to both the segments. We pick off from where we had left off last night in our discussion about Qiyamah, or the Day of Judgment. And as we were discussing about the signs of Qiyamah, and we had stated that in the traditions and in the ayat, numerous signs of the arrival of the Day of Judgment have been mentioned. But the signs that were there have been categorized into three categories. One category consists of the signs that indicate nearness of the Qiyamah. That means when those signs appear, it is an indication to us that very soon Qiyamah is going to come. And in relation to this, yesterday, last night, we had discussed the signs that lead and indicate to the nearness of the Qiyamah. And the point that we had stopped was that the same ayat of Surah Al-Anbiya, where Quran says, وَحَتَّى إِذَا فُتِحَتْ يَاجُوجُ وَمَاجُوجُ وَهُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ جَدَبٍ يَنْسِلُونَ, that Yajuj and Majuj, when they get liberated, they will come down from the tops of their mountains in quick haste. And all the relationships, all the aspects about this issue, about Yajuj and Majuj, was discussed last night. What will happen, how they were imprisoned, who was the one who imprisoned them, how they will break free, has all been discussed. There's this one point that needs to be understood, is that at times it so happens that when a person is very close to God, or when he becomes very pious, when he becomes very righteous, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him certain favors, grants him certain powers which he does not give to other people. Zulqarnain that we saw yesterday and last night was one of those personalities who was given knowledge of certain things which was not given to the people existing at that time. And this is very similar to what was given to Hadrat Dawood alayhi salam. In one of the du'as of Night of Qadr we recite, Ya Mulayyin al-Hadid al-Dawood alayhi salam, O you who have granted Dawood the power to make iron soft. One of the powers that was given to Hadrat Dawood was that the power was in his hands. Whenever he would pick up iron, automatically the iron would become soft in his hands, and then he would mold the iron into either helmets of that time, or swords of that time, or shields of that time, or coat of arms of that time. So when you see Dawood given the product, the power, the qudrat of making iron soft, similarly Dhulqarnain was given the power to understand things of scientific value that was not existent and known to people at that time. So when Yajuj and Majuj break free from the barrier that Dhulqarnain had set and imprisoned them and put them into captivity, when they break the barriers, and Quran says, Hatta idha futihat Yajuj wa Majuj, when Yajuj and Majuj break free, wa hum min kulli jadabin yansilun, from the tops of mountains they will come running down. When they come running down, this tribe of savage, ferocious and barbaric group, groups of two communities, when they spread out into the world, they will create panic and chaos never to have been seen into this world. When this incident takes place, tradition says, be very careful, Qiyamah is going to be very close. But this is just one of the signs that indicate on the nearness of the Qiyamah. There is another very important issue, another very important sign about the nearness of the Qiyamah. And once I explain this, this is going to put a lot of confusion in the minds. But be very careful. This is one aspect that becomes one of the essentials of the Shiite faith. That means if you are a Shia, if I am a Shia, if you believe in the Fiqh Ja'fariya, if you believe in the Imams, it is essential for us to believe in this aspect that I'm going to explain now. And this aspect in the tradition has come, that before the Day of Judgment, before Qiyamah, one thing that is definitely going to happen is what in Islamic terminology is referred to as Raj'ah. Raj'ah means the return. What is this Raj'ah? According to the Shiite belief, and it is something that is so essential, not essential of Islam, essential of the Shiite belief. It is such an essential part of the Shiite belief that our sixth Imam, Sadiq Ali Muhammad, Ja'far ibn Muhammad ibn Sadiq, alayhi salatu was salam. Has said that, Man ankara raj'ata falaysa minna. Whoever rejects the concept of Raj'ah, whoever rejects the concept and ideology of Raj'ah, he is not from amongst us. Don't consider him to be the Shia. What is this concept of Raj'ah? This Raj'ah, or Raj'at as it is called, means a period of time after the arrival of Imam Mahdi Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif, when Imam comes at a time very close to the Shahadat of Imam. The Shahadat of the 12th Imam. As you know, Imam when he comes, at that time all the 11 Imams have gone. Right now he is the 12th Imam. But it is the ordainment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the stipulation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that all the Imams have to be martyred. Because the manzilat, the martabat, the rank and the status that a person achieves by Shahada cannot be achieved by anything else. And hence it has been ordained that the 12th Imam will also be martyred. Before shortly the martyrdom of Imam Mahdi Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif, it is said that a time will come when one after the other, all the Ma'asumeen will return into this world. Imam Ali will come into this world. The second Imam will come into the world. The third Imam will come into the world, up to the 11th Imam. All of them will return. And it is not just the Imams who will return. Because tradition says, Mu'minun al-Khalis. Those mu'min who have been pure mu'min, who have been khalis mu'min, who have been true mu'min, the likes of Salman al-Farsi, the likes of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, the likes of Miqdad, all these people will return into this world. In addition to these individuals, the kuffar who are khalis kuffar, those kafirin, those enemies of Islam, those enemies of the Ahlul Bayt, who are absolutely khalis enemies of Ahlul Bayt, will return. Yazid will return. Walid will return, Shimr will return. In this entire world, before the day of judgment, the good people will return. In this world, before the day of judgment, the bad people will return. And the good people will be given the benefits of their goodness in this world in addition to the Akhirah. And the bad people will face the consequences of their evil deeds in this world before the Akhirah. So eventually all these individuals will come, and all these evil people will face the punishment from the people that they had martyred. Ibn Muljim will be there, Yazid will be there, Shimr will be there, and the likes, together with all the Imams. The only thing that we know is that, or rather the only thing probably that we do not know is the manner in which the Imams will come. Imams will come definitely. And this is a concept that Imam Sadiq says, those who do not believe in it is not from amongst our Shias. The Imams will come, the Mu'mineen will come, those Kuffar will come. But right now, if we look at only the Imams and the Masumin, we do not know the order in which they will come. Will they come from 1, 2 and 3, the ascending order? That first, because Imam Ali is Abul A'imma, he will come first. And then his son Imam Hassan will come first. And then Imam Hussein will come first, depending upon the words, depending upon the lineage. Or no, it will come in descending order. Because the 12th Imam is there, the first Imam that will come will be the 11th Imam. The second Imam that will come will be the 10th Imam. The third Imam that will come will be the 9th Imam. We do not know. But we do know one thing. We do not know the order in which they will come. But we do know one thing. That the first Imam that will come at the time of Raj'at will be the third Imam, Husayn ibn Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. The first Imam that will come will be the third Imam, Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And tradition says that when the Imam, the 12th Imam, is martyred and Shahadat takes place, remember, this is the fundamental ideology of the Imams, that when an Imam dies, it is only another Masoom. Or rather, when a Masoom dies, it's only another Masoom who can give this Imam ghusl and kafan and salat. So when Imam Mahdi dies, if there was no masoom, the concept of namaz-e-janaza upon Imam would be unfulfilled. And for this reason, before the shahadat of the 12th Imam, the 3rd Imam will come. As I said, we do not know the order in which they will come. But we do know that the first Imam that will come before the shahadat of Imam Mahdi will be Imam Hussain. When Imam Mahdi will be martyred, it will be Imam Hussain who will take care of all the tadfeen and kafan. And when Imam Mahdi is martyred, the Imam that will recite his Salatul Janaza will be Imam Hussain alayhi salam. As soon as Raj'at takes place, Rivayat says, be careful, because now the time of Qiyamah is very close. Because these form the category of the signs that indicate on the nearness of Qiyamah. When Raj'at comes, when the Imam start coming, then it is told to us, now Qiyamah is very near. But now we move into the second part. After having understood these instances which indicate upon the nearness of Qiyamah, we go to the second category. We go to the second category of signs. Those category or those signs which happen on the threshold of Qiyamah. Because remember, we have said that Qiyamah, when it is going to come, the signs are classified into three categories. One category consists of those signs which indicate Qiyamah is coming near. The second category of events and occurrences indicate and form that category that happened just on the threshold of Qiyamah. That means now these signs have taken place, immediately now Qiyamah will take place. The third category is simultaneous to Qiyamah. That means Qiyamah is taking place and now these events are happening. Having understood the first category of signs which indicate the nearness of Qiyamah, we need to understand what are those categories, what are those signs
which happened just on the threshold of Qiyam, which happened just on the verge of Qiyam. And one thing that is there over here is, that this sign, and I'm going to pick up just one sign, because there are so many signs that if we were to discuss all of them in detail, it would require almost half an ashra. But right now, one big sign that we need to pick up, just prior to the occurrence of Qiyamah. That means these signs now indicate very shortly just Qiyamah will follow. And this sign is something that has been repeatedly stated in the Quran. At times you will say, إِذَا زُلْزَلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. At times it will say, أَلْقَارِعَةُ مَا الْقَارِعَةُ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْقَارِعَةُ. At times in Surah Waqi'a you will recite, إِذَا وَقَعَتِ الْوَاقِعَةُ. This is those signs which indicate on the threshold of Qiyamah we stand. And what are these signs? Two or three things we will discuss and then move forward. One of the things that will take place is a universal earthquake will take place. Remember last night we discussed about Suratul Hajj, verse number 1 and 2, when Allah turns to all the humans and says, Ya ayyuhan nas, ittaqoo rabbakum, inna zalzalat as-sa'ati shay'un azeem. O people, not humans, not just mu'mineen and kuffar. O people, ittaqoo rabbakum, fear your Lord. Why? In zalzalat as-sa'ati shay'un azim. The shaking that will take place, the earthquake that will take place, the entire world that will start moving around is something, not an ordinary thing. Shay'un azim, Quran says. And then those instances that we discussed last night of that lady who was there suckling the child will leave the suckling child. That lady who is having child in the stomach, a pregnant lady, will suffer a miscarriage because of the fear and the fright of the Day of Judgment. But before the fright comes, the shaking will come. In zalzalat as-sa'ati shay'un azim. An immense earthquake will overtake this entire planet. The entire planet will start moving around in such a manner that it will instill fear and fright into every person who's living. But this is just one part of it, because in the event of on the world and on the threshold of Qiyamah, nothing that is there, not in this world, nothing that is there in this entire material universe will remain same. Now if you have a look at the universe, you find there are two things that you will see. One, you will see matter. Matter, rock, stones, gas. The other thing that you will see is form. So you have the planets, you have the constellations, you have the galaxies, you have the sun, you've got the stars, you've got the constellations. These form the form of the universe. And each of these forms are made up of matter. Before or on the verge of Qiyamah, one thing that has been categorically stated, you study the ayat of the Quran, you study the ahadith of the Masumin, one thing is very clear, the entire form of the infrastructure that is there in the universe will completely go in complete overhaul. That means nothing will remain as it was and as you and me see it now. The matter will remain, the material would remain, rocks would remain, gas would remain, but the forms would change. That means now we don't have the sun and the moon. The matter is there. Sun and moon is not there. You don't have the planets. This earth is there. But this earth as we see it with plants and mountains are not there. Because an overwhelming change will take place. An overwhelming catastrophe will take place. That will take place on the earth as well as in the cosmos. On the earth that will take place starts off with this. إِذَا زُلْزَلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا إِنَّ زَلْزَلَتَ السَّاعَةِ شَيْءٌ عَظِيمٌ. This will what will take place on the earth. And when this takes place on the earth, two major things that we see on the earth is land and water. Both land and water will completely see a complete overhaul. On land what you see and which appear very manifest are mountains. Quran categorically states we will do away with these mountains. That means now on the threshold of Qiyamah, certain instances will take place in cosmos. will take place in the space. Certain instances will take place on the ground, on planet. Both of these are running simultaneously. Both of these are not only mentioned in the ayats, but also in the ahadith. Tonight we will take the help of certain ayat, because out of those 6,236 verses of the Quran, about 1,200 of them are talking about Qiyamah. When you refer to this, we find and the description of various things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. Amazing. In such vivid detail that at times you wonder what was the need for God to go to this extent to describe what is going to happen. When He's talking about the cataclysmic catastrophe that is going to take place on the earth, the first thing He says is, these mountains that you see which amaze you so much, we're going to do away with them. These mountains are not going to exist anymore. And in Quran, if you see the various ayats of the Quran, you find stages in which Quran has said how these mountains will go away with. In Surah Tur, He starts off. He says, these mountains that you see, in Quran there's a reason why these mountains have been said. Well, jibalu awtada. That means He says these mountains have been placed on this earth as awtad. Awtad means nails. What is the function of a nail? The function of a nail is to bind two things together, to give stability to a certain thing. Quran says the mountains have been placed as nails to keep this earth stable and movementless. Saying when the day of judgment comes, we're going to do away with this awtad. Saying first thing that will happen, and He explains in the Quran, the various steps that will take place before this entire mountain become erased from the face of the earth. He's saying, first of all, we will start moving these mountains. These mountains which are nails onto the ground, we will start moving them. They look big, isn't it? The Andes Mountains, the Rocky Mountains, the Himalayas, the Kilimanjaro in East Africa. Huge mountains. He's saying, at that day, there'll be nothing huge. Because remember, we had said, on the day of judgment, the only thing that will function, the only rule that will work, will be the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At that time, He says, we will make sure these mountains are moving from their places. وَتَسِيرُ الْجِبَالُ سَيْرًا Surah Tur says. Once these mountains begin to move, the next step in the Quran, Surah Al-Haqqa, we says, وَحُمِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ وَالْجِبَالُ دُكَّةً فَالدُكَّةَ دَكَّةً وَاحِدًا We will pick up this earth, we will pick up the mountains, not one mountain, not two mountains, on the face of the earth, as many mountains are there, وَحُمِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ وَالْجِبَالُ فَدُكَّتَ دَكَّةً وَاحِدًا All the mountains will be picked up. It will be taken before the earth, and دُكَّةً دَكَّةً دُكَّةً وَاحِدًا One bang, one collision of all the mountains with the earth. He emphasizes دَكَّةً وَاحِدًا One clash, one collision of all the mountains with the earth. The next step is mentioned in Surah Al-Muzzammil. He's saying, once we clash these mountains, one stroke, hitting with the earth, you know what will happen? These mountains, when they are dashed against the earth, these will turn into kathayib mahila, kathiban mahila, they will turn into mounds of dust. These huge rocky mountains, these Himalayan 8,848 meters of rock, when we dash them against the earth, they will turn kathiban mahila, Surah Al-Muzzammil. They will turn not into mounds of rock, they will become sand on the earth. After that, what will happen? Surah Al-Waqi'ah says, وَبُثَّتِ الْجِبَالُ بَثَّى فَكَانَتْ حَبَاءً مُنْبَثَّى Once these become mounds of sand, we will send the wind. When the wind comes, they will strike against this mound of sand and scatter them into the skies. The fourth step. And then the final step, He just rotates and tells them, off you go. In Surah Taha, verse number 106, once they become mounds of sand, and once we send the wind will pick up these huge Himalaya mountains, which no longer are rock, they become dust because of that collision with the earth. We send the wind will pick up the sand, scatter it into the skies, and then he says, فَيَذَرُهَا قَاعًا صَفْصَفًا. We will tell the winds, take away the sand, and now when you look at the earth, you will not see any mountains. All that, up to wherever your eyes goes, you will only see land that is kabisa and completely flat. Mountains done away with. This is what Qiyamah is. Why do you think that when the Imams and the Masumeen would discuss Qiyamah, they would start weeping? Listen to this now again. It will come before the end of tonight's lecture. Saying we will do away with these mountains. Everything needs to change. While this is happening with respect to land, we've got another element on land, which is water. Quran says, nearing when these mountains are being crushed and crumbled and taken off and made to vanish from the face of the earth. There will be seas that will be there, but it will not remain seas. وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ. In another verse it is said, وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ. Two terminologies. One sujjirat. You refer any tafsir. Tafsir al-Mizan Allama Tabatabai. Tafsir al-Namuna Ayatullah Makarim Shirazi. Tafsir al-Sabi. Tafsir al-Dhul al-Mansur. Whatever. It is said, this word fujjirat and sujjirat refer to an incident or an act that will take place. While the mountains are being crumbled into pieces of sand, these water that is there, all the 7 oceans and the seas, all of them, sujjirat, they will become not of water. They will turn into oceans of fire. Tafjir, infijar, explosion. All the seas will explode into fire. On one hand, the mountains crumbling into dust. On the other hand, the water turning into oceans of fire. إِنَّ زَلْزَلَةَ السَّاعَةِ شَيْءٌ عَظِيمٌ. But this is what is happening onto the ground. But we had said, what is going to happen on the threshold of Qiyamah is not restricted to planet Earth. It is restricted to the entire universe. Whether it is the solar system, whether it is the Milky Way, whether it is the constellations that are there, the entire structure of the universe is going to change. What happened and what we discussed is just what is there on this earth. While this is happening on this earth, something else is happening in the skies. What is happening in the skies? Again, a very vivid description. A very detailed description. Where? Surah At-Takwir explains what is going to happen. Not only on the earth, but even on the skies. إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ انْكَدَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ. 5 verses. Explains the entire cataclysmic catastrophe that will overtake not only the planet Earth but entire universe. إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ. This entire sun, Quran is saying, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ. Takwir means to fold up. Quran says on the threshold of Qiyamah, the sun will not remain. We will fold it up. Everything regarding the sun will go. That form will not remain. That light will not remain. That heat will not remain. إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ. But that sun is not the only thing in the skies. You've got the planets, you've got the constellations, you've got the galaxies. وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ انْكَدَرَتْ. Everything that is there in the skies, Quran says, annihilation, complete perdition. You look up at that time, you will not recognize your universe. It has to undergo a complete overhaul. Why? Because you're going to enter a realm that is a realm you've never experienced before. Something that I've been promising from the time Adam was created. I've been telling you my promise is going to come. I'm telling you something is going to happen. Something that is huge and magnanimous. Everything needs to change. وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ انْكَدَرَتْ. وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ. We will take these mountains and send them hurling, flying, plucked up from their grounds. وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ. at that stage when people will see all these things happening. إِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ عِشَار is the plural form of عَشْرَى. عَشْرَى is a she-camel, the name given to a she-camel in the Arabian Peninsula. But it's a very different she-camel, because a she-camel is also called a naqa. But عَشْرَى, the plural form of which is Al-Ishar, which is there in Surah Takwir, refers to a she-camel who's pregnant. But pregnant at 10 months. That means now she's about to deliver a child, a camel, a baby camel. A camel or a she-camel who's on the verge of delivering a baby camel is called Ashra. At this point of time when this camel is about to deliver, she's going to give a new birth, that means a new animal. At the same time, because in order to make arrangements for a new animal to feed, there is an overflow of milk from the she-camel. That means now the she-camel is giving profuse milk. It's going to give a new camel. In the time when the Quran was being revealed, this Ashra or Aishar was supposed to be the most valuable possession of a person in the Arab world. That means if a person has an Ashra, he would proudly say, look, I've got a camel. A she-camel is about to deliver. Because now I'm going to get another camel. And the flow of milk is so much, I'm going to get money out of selling this. Very priceless possession. Quran says, وَإِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ Sun, when it is going to be folded up. وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ All the celestial objects that are there in the sky, the cosmos, the cosmic objects, all of them annihilated in كَدَرَتْ. Then you know what he says? وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُوِّرَتْ People will see the mountains flying. He says, وَالْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ At that time, the fright that will overtake the people will be such that they would leave their most priceless possessions. And the word that Quran brings is عِشَار. Even if they have عِشَار, they will leave, pointing to the fact that the most valuable possession of a person, at that time, people will say, leave me, I'm more worried about myself, not worried about you. وَالْإِذَا عِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ وَذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ The earth, the seas are completely in flames, bowls and oceans of fire. A complete cataclysmic overhaul that is summarized in one verse. Allah says, وَيَوْمَ نَتْوِ السَّمَاءِ كَتَيَّ السِّجْلِ لِلْكُتُبِ This entire thing. In order to understand this example, in olden days, the word that is used in the Quran over here is Yawma Natwi, a day when we will fold a sama, the entire sama, we will fold it up. Katayya sijlil al-kutub. The word sijl is used. What is the sijl? In olden days, you did not have these flash disks, right? You did not have the word processors like Microsoft Word. So they would write on pieces of paper. Paper in those days were not A4 and A5 papers, huh? Paper in those days were long ones. They were called thumar. So when they wanted to write, the papers would come folded. Long. 3 meters, 4 meters. When they want to write, they will open it up. They will start writing. They keep opening, keep writing. When the writing is done, they will fold it up again and keep it. They didn't have books in those days. No printing presses. So they would have this long strip called thumar. When it is folded up, it is called thumar. When they want to write, they open it. When they finish, they fold it up. Allah says, يَوْمَ نَتْوِ السَّمَاءِ كَتَيَّ السِّجْلِ لِلْكُتُبِ A time was there when we had this entire universe folded up. The Big Bang Theory, or what Imam Ali alayhi salam says in Nahjul Balagha, khutbah number one. How did this world come into place? A dense mass of gas explodes. Khutbah number one, Nahjul Balagha. It was a dense mass of gas. Explodes, the universe comes into existence. In this verse, Allah says, يَوْمَ نَتْوِ السَّمَاءِ كَطَيِّ السِّجْلِ لِلْكُتُبِ كَمَا بَدَعْنَا أَوَّلَ الْخَلْقِ نُعِيدُهُ Just as we open out the entire creation, according to what Imam Ali says in Nahjul Balagha, a dense smoke, he uses the word smoke. In Nahjul Balagha. A dense mass of gas, a dense smoke, we opened it out and made it into a universe. Allah says, just as in the beginning we opened out and created everything, at the time of judgment, we are going to fold it back. Natwi is sama. We're going to turn everything back. Reverse it. You will not observe. You will not recognize the world when we finished with what is going to happen in prayer. A complete overhaul. And this is what is there when it is said, be careful. Be careful of the day of judgment. It is not something that you can easily pass by. But these were the signs that were just near the Qiyamah. That means now, as these signs happen, we know Qiyamah is coming. Immediately these end, Qiyamah is coming. Because now the entire infrastructure of the universe is changed. The land, there will be no trees over there on the day of judgment. There will be no mountains. And if you remember my last two lectures before, we had said when they will be standing on the plains, running helter and skelter, no place to hide. Where will they hide? The mountains have already been vanished. Trees don't exist. All that exists is one ground, the power of God, the people standing for accounting, and the day of judgment. Every single act, every single thought, every single action, you have to account to the Lord of the worlds. In this world you did whatever you want, right? In this world you felt nobody was going to control you, right? In this world you flouted all my rulings. Maliki Yawmiddin. Now comes the time I'm going to manifest my power. You don't talk till I don't tell you, huh? That's what it is said. We will hear this. You don't move till I tell you not to move, till I tell you to move. We will hear this again. You can't do anything that day. Completely powerless, because the only thing, and I keep repeating, and I will continue to repeat, the only thing that will be having complete sovereignty on that day will be the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But now, this is now, we are almost on the verge of Qiyamah. Till this happens, something will happen. As soon as that happens, that is simultaneous to Qiyamah. We're coming to the third category of our signs. We finish the signs which indicate Qiyamah is near. We finish the signs that will occur on the threshold of Qiyamah. Now those signs, simultaneous to Qiyamah. The blowing of the trumpet. Surah Zumar states this reality. There have been 18 verses in the Quran which talk about this. What? The blowing of the trumpet. This is what will bring about إِذَا وَقَعَتِ الْوَاقِعَةِ. The verse says, وَنُّفِخَ فِي السُّورَةِ. Quran is saying, a time will come when the trumpet shall be blown. We will discuss what this trumpet is and we will explain in details. وَالنَّفِخَ فِي السُّورَ. The trumpet will be blown into فَسَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. As soon as the trumpet is blown, فَسَعِقَ, fall down will everybody. مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ, whoever is there in the skies. That means the inmates of heavens, the angels. وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, whoever is there on the earth. Not humans. Just humans, jinn, animals, insects, birds. Man fi al-samawati wa man fi al-ard. Wa nufiqa fi sur fa sa'iqa man fi al-samawati wa man fi al-ard. Illa man sha' Allah. There will be certain individuals who will not be affected by this. Except, Quran says, except those people whom Allah has protected. Thumma nufiqa fihi ukhra. There will be a second blowing of the trumpet. فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ. When the second blowing will come, these individuals who have fallen down because of the first trumpet will rise up. How? قِيَامٌ. They will stand up. And what will they do? يَنْظُرُونَ. They will look. How? Yes, last night we remembered. شَاخِسَةٌ أَبْصَارُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. يَا وَيْلَنَا قَدْ كُنَّا فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا بَلْ كُنَّا ظَالِمِينَ. When they see, it will appear as if their eyes are popping out of their sockets because of the azab and punishment that they will see on that day. بَلْ كُنَّا ظَالِمِينَ, they will say. Saying, where were we to see this date? Quran says, شَاخِسَةٌ أَبْصَارُهُ أَبْصَارُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Those who disbelieved, those who disobeyed, those who stood up against us, eyes as if coming out of their sockets, jumping out of the sockets, because of what? The fear and the fright of the punishment of Allah. But this trumpet that will be blown in two phases. And the angel that is there, who has been given this task, is Hazrat Israfil. He has been given this task. As the time he is born, or he has been created, he has been given this major task. Your job is to conclude my entire creation. To bring about my promise. My promise, a day will come and I will rule. And you will hear this tradition of Imam Sajjad very shortly. Your job is to bring my promise to truth. That is to bring an end to this entire creation and then bring them back to life. About Hazrat Israfil, he is one of those four biggest angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Jibreel, Hazrat Mikael, Hazrat Azrael, and Hazrat Israfil. The entire Nizam, the entire system, the entire order of this universe, whether it is on the earth, whether it is in the first heavens, whether it is in the second heavens, whether it is in the seventh heavens, whether it is the arsh, whether it is Jahannam, whether it is Jannah, the entire Nizam of Allah is controlled and delegated and organized by these four angels. One of them is Hazrat Israfil. One of the angels, a muqarrab, close angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. About him it is said that he is, some tradition says, that he is that angel who was the first angel to bow down before Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. You know that incident when Allah says, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا مِّن طِينٍ فَإِذَا صَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِن رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. When Allah turns to the angels and says, I am going to create man out of clay. فَإِذَا صَوَّيْتُهُ, when I have given him form. وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِن رُوحِي, when I have blown into him my soul. فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. Bow down before him. Do sajda. Tradition says the first angel who did sajda was Hazrat Israfil. A very big angel. Very important angel. Very important task. It is said when it is a time for the day of judgment to come, Allah will order Israfil, Israfil, come on, do your job. He will move from the skies with a trumpet. Tradition says that trumpet has one hole, one place to blow in, and two outlets. One outlet pointing towards the earth, the other outlet pointing towards the sky. As soon as he blows it, as soon as the voice comes out from the lower end for the people of the earth, everyone, everything into whose ears the sound will go will fall down as and how they were. And in 18 occasions, Allah has talked about these two signs, these two sounds. At times the word is sayha. At times it is nafkhisur. At times the term used is zajr. But whatever, on 18 occasions Allah has talked about it. That two sounds will come. One will cause death to you, called nafkhatul imata, the sound of death. And the second will be nafkhatul ihya, the sound of life. As soon as the first sound comes, the person drops dead. As soon as the second sound comes, the person rises. What is the difference between the two sounds? Immediately one after the other, we've got varying traditions. Certain tradition says, between the first blowing of the trumpet and the second blowing of the trumpet, there will be a time span of 40 years. In those 40 years, as soon as a person, the people die, for 40 continuous years, day in and day out, it will continue to pour. Rain will come down. In certain tradition says, no, not 40 years. Tradition says 400 years. Again, at this point of time, as before, I choose to ignore and sidestep these 40 years or 400 years. Are these the years of dunya? Or are these the years of the akhirah? We do not know. Tradition says, some of them 40 years between the blowing of one trumpet and the second trumpet. Certain tradition says 400 years between the blowing of the first trumpet and the second trumpet. As soon as the first trumpet is blown, there is nobody in this entire universe who is alive except those individuals whom God wants. But when this happens, how does it work?
When your first blowing takes place, when nufikha fi sur, fasa'iqa man fi samawati wa man fil ardh, which Quran says, which Surah Zumar says, how is it going to happen? Tradition says, this when it comes, will come suddenly. Again, as I mentioned last night or night before last, the term that is used is baghatatan, suddenly.
Tradition explain, huh? You want to know what does this baghatatan mean? Sallu ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. Tradition says, you want to know what this baghatatan means?
When it comes suddenly means what?
It's saying suddenly means, traditions are explaining, ahadith.
It's saying suddenly means, a person is sitting on his dining table to eat. And by the way, let me tell you, tradition says when Israfil will come to blow the trumpet, when he come, where he will come, how he will come, I will explain. But the manner of his blowing the trumpet will be so immense, will be so intense, that everybody will feel it is being done just outside his house. That means somebody has come outside his house and is blowing the trumpet. Where he will be blowing, I will just tell you. But the fact is that when Israfil is going to blow the trumpet, there are certain considerations that we need to do. Traditions narrate that when Israfil will start moving from the skies, there will be a chaos in the skies. When the first blowing of the trumpet will take place, the suddenness is how it is explained. Person is sitting on the dining table, picks up the morsel to put it into his mouth. It has left the plate, nearing the mouth, the blowing will take place, the morsel will never reach the mouth. Suddenly, tradition explaining, baghatatan means what? That is the reason Surah Yasin says, وَإِنْ كَانَتْ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدًا فَإِذَا هُمْ خَامِدُونَ. This one blow. Surah Yasin will recite, وَإِنْ كَانَتْ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدًا. One blow, one sound. فَإِذَا هُمْ خَامِدُونَ. All of them died. All of them dead. Dried. Dead bodies. Corpses. You don't need anything else. صَيْحَةً وَاحِدًا. One blowing. Other tradition says, people are into the market. One is a seller in the shop. This is a purchaser. The purchaser says, I want something from you. The seller picks up the thing and gives it to him. He takes out the money and is about to give it to him. That fellow is extending his hand to catch the money. Say, حَتَنْ وَاحِدَ فَإِذَاهُمْ خَادِدُونَ. That purchaser will not have the time to grasp that money when the sound will come. There and then, a corpse, dead body. Baghatatan means this. وَإِنْ كَانَتِ اللَّهِ سَيْحَةً وَاحِدًا فَإِذَا هُمْ خَامِدُونَ. And that's why Surah Yasin says, وَلَا يَسْتَتِعُونَ عَيْنْ تَوْسِيَةً وَلَا هُمْ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Neither will they get the time to write a will. Surah Yasin I'm talking. Neither will they get the time to write their will, nor will they get the time to even go to their wives and say, hello, khuda hafiz. Baghatatan. Suddenly, that is the reason it is always said, God is Ghafoor. No, God is Ghaffar, very much forgiving. If you were to seek, or if I were to seek forgiveness, even a second before إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ, before my soul reaches, before I see Malakul Maut, Allah will forgive. Tradition says, how do you know when this Baghatatan will come? How do you know how suddenly it will come? Do you have the time to think about it? Why do you want to wait for that time? Why do you want to push yourself into this problem? Is it not istighfar coming into your mind? Do you not fear the punishment of God? Do you not fear the day of the God where we as masumeen cry? You are not worried, huh? That is why even I mentioned over there, on the Masjid al-Kufa, tradition says when he's reciting in Masjid al-Kufa at night, Ravi goes, he sees Ali crying. Words of the tradition, يَتَمَلْمَلُكْ تَمَلْمُلِ السَّلِيمِ. He is writhing in pain. He is moving about in pain. As a Salim. Salim refers to a person who has been bitten by a snake. When a snake bites a person, and the poison moves into the body, and begins to affect him, he begins to writhe in pain, he begins to cringe, he begins to frown, he begins to experience the pain, that person is called Salim. Ravi says, in the middle of the night, I heard somebody crying out in Masjid al-Kufa. I open the door and see what? See Ali. Yatamalmalu katamalmal is Salim. As a person bitten by a snake, crying. All of a sudden he faints. When this person goes to Ali, moves hard. The body is gone hard, cold. He rushes to Hazrat Fatima's house, knocks at the door. She calls up from inside, who is it? He says, I'm Fulan. Saying, at this time of the night, what have you got? He's saying, I've got bad news for you. Saying, what happened? He's saying, Abul Hasan has passed away. Fatima is saying, Abul Hasan has passed away. Where? Which is just now. Where did you see him? In the mosque. She says, in Masjid al-Kufa? He says, yes. He's saying, he's lying down, his body cold. Saying, yes, but how do you know? He's saying, this is the normal routine of Ali. Out of the fear of God, when he's communicating with God, he is so much overcome by fright that he falls down in a faint, his body goes cold. No, don't worry, he's not dead. Who but Ali can do this? We can afford to sit completely oblivious, na? Because we've been guaranteed as Shia of Ali that he'll go to paradise. Bisharteha wa shurooteha. No free passage. There's certain things that are required. It will come baghtatan. Now listen to this hadith of Imam Sajjad. And then we will go on to the issue of Masail. Imam Sajjad, somebody comes to him and says, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, can you just identify to us? Can you explain to us how the entire procedure of this blowing of the trumpet will take place? He says, when the order of God will come, when the command of God will come to Israfil, from where Israfil was situated, he will start the movement. As soon as he starts the movement with the trumpet in his hand, the entire sky, seven heavens, in turmoil, in panic, in chaos. The angels shivering in fright. Each of them talking to each other, our time is up. Israfil is going upon the orders of God to annihilate the world. Israfil will come down. This tradition of Imam Sajjad says, Hadrat Israfil will land up near Bayt al-Maqdas or al-Bayt al-Muqaddas in Jerusalem. He will turn facing to the Kaaba. As he turns facing to the Kaaba, he will take that trumpet and he will blow. As soon as the first blow takes place, which Quran says, وَنُّخَ فِي السُّورِ. As soon as this takes place, everybody on the earth fall down baghtatan. Everybody in the skies fall down baghtatan. فَالسَّائِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. At that time when everyone is dead, Imam Sajjad says, Israfil goes up to the Arsh of God. Stands in the spiritual presence. You don't have a physical presence of God. But he stands where he feels he should stand, and he turns to God, hands folded, saying, God, I have done my work. God will ask Israfil, what did you do? He's saying, I've blown the trumpet. He's saying, what happened after that on the earth? He's saying, Ya Rabbi, everybody on this earth is dead. He's saying, what about the skies? He will say, all the inhabitants of the sky are dead. He's saying, who are remaining? He's saying, my Rabb, you and me. Imam Sajjad says, Allah will turn to Israfil and says, why are you alive? Ummut, die down. At that time, upon the command of Allah, Israfil will die down. At that time, tradition says, Allah will cast his glance upon the entire universe. And he will say, his quotations that he will say on the day of judgment, or before the blowing of the second trumpet, has been picked up and put into the Quran. Allah says, on that day, when Israfil blows the trumpet, people in the heavens dead, people in the earth dead, Israfil is made to die. At that time, Allah will cast his glance, and then he will say, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكَ الْيَوْمِ, there in the Quran. Whose authority now lies in this entire universe? Where are those huge, ignorant, arrogant people who thought they could stand up before me? لِمَنِ الْمُلْكَ الْيَوْمِ. Today, the authority of who prevails in this entire universe? Tradition says, Imam Sajjad says, there will be no answer. He will look all over. There will be no answer because there is nobody alive. He will look around, there will be no answer. In His absolute majestic might, in His absolute majestic glory, then He will answer Himself, لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ. Tonight the authority, or today the authority lies with the one Qahir God, no comparison, no opposition to Him. لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ. Then he will say, Inni anallah, surely I am Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha ghayri, there is no God except me. Now he's manifesting his might, huh? He's manifesting his power, huh? He's manifesting his glory. Imam Sajjad is saying, Inni anallah, I am surely Allah. La ilaha ghayri, there is no Lord except me. La shariki, there is no partner. Where is there? Come on, stand up and tell me. La shariki, there is no partner to me. La waziri, there is no assistant to me. I created, I kill. Ana uhi, ana umid. Ana amattukum, I have killed you all bi qudrati, by my power. Wa ana uhyikum bi mashiyati, I will make you rise up by my will whenever I want. Nobody there to oppose him. As soon as this happens, then Imam Sajjad, the narrator says, ki jaise Imam Sajjad ye hadith ko mukammal karte, جیسے یہ حدیث اس مرحلے پر پہنچتی ہے کہ ایک مرتبہ راوی دیکھتا ہے کہ امام کی آنکھوں سے آنسو جاری ہیں، شریعت گر جاتا ہے. یہ میں اپنے آپ سے پوچھ رہا ہوں، شیخ، ایک معصوم امام اس بات پر دیکھ کر اتنا گریا کرتے ہیں، اتنا شدید خوف کے آنکھوں میں سے آنسو. کچھ تو شرم ہو، کچھ تو خوف ہو، کچھ تو خدا کی قدرت کا اندازہ. مگر اس چیز سے بچنا نہ آپ کے ہاتھ میں ہے نہ میرے ہاتھ میں. اس حقیقی بات ہے، اس چیز سے بچنا ہمارے ہاتھ میں نہیں، اور اسی وجہ سے تو اہل بیت کو بھیجا گیا. انسان اگر تنہا اپنے آپ کو، خود کو بچانا چاہے ان مرحلوں سے، نہیں بچا سکتا. بچانے کے لیے ہادیوں کو بھیجا گیا، بچانے کے لیے مہدیوں کو بھیجا گیا، بچانے کے لیے اہل بیت کو بھیجا گیا. ان کا نظریہ یہی تھا، ان کا وظیفہ یہ تھا. ہمیں خود کی پرواہ نہیں، کائنات ہمارے ہاتھ میں ہے، جنت اور جہنم ہمارے ہاتھ میں ہے. ہم تو آئے ہیں یہاں تمہارے لیے، ہم آئے ہیں تمہیں نجات دینے کے لیے، پھر بھی نجات قبول نہیں کرو گے. اور یہی تو مرحلہ تھا، یہی تو مقصد تھا. حسین کا مکے سے نکل کر کربلا میں جانا یہی تو سبب تھا. ہم بچپن سے ہم کو سکھایا گیا ہے، نجات چاہتے ہو اہل بیت کا دامن نہیں چھوڑو. اور یہ ریالٹی کہہ رہا ہوں، ایموشنز کی بات نہیں کر رہا. وی ڈونٹ ہیو ٹو ڈیل وتھ ایموشنز، ریالٹی. حدیث دیٹ یو ول ریڈ، یہاں جو ممبر پہ آپ سنتے ہیں، وہ ایک 150th آف واٹ از دیئر، 100th آف واٹ از دیئر ان دا بکس آف حدیث. آپ کتب اٹھا کے دیکھیے، پڑھتے پڑھتے آنکھوں سے آنسو نکل آئے. ایسی حدیثیں، ایسی احادیث جو آنکھ کے سامنے سے گزرتی ہیں. عجیب مرحلہ ہے ان کا، عجیب مقام ہے ان کا. انشاءاللہ شب عاشور کے مجلس میں منحصراً اہل بیت اور ولایت اہل بیت پر گفتگو ہوگی. اور کس عنوان سے؟ اس عنوان سے کہ محبت اہل بیت کن کن مقاموں پر، ان شدید مقامات کے جس کے بارے میں ہمیں ڈرایا گیا ہے قیامت میں، کیسے ایک ایک مرحلے پر محبت اہل بیت ہماری مدد کرتی ہے شب عاشور کی مجلس. مگر حسین کا مقصد بھی تو یہی تھا، نجات دینا، خلق خدا کو عذاب سے بچانا، ہدایت یافتہ کرنا. اور یہ جو ہم جو بچپن سے ہم کو سکھایا گیا ہے، نجات چاہتے ہو اہل بیت کی محبت، نجات چاہتے ہو ولایت علی، اس کا نمونہ آپ دیکھیں گے. آج کی مناسبت کن کی ہے؟ جناب حر کی نا، ان کے مسائل سننے آئے. یہ جو ہمیں بتایا گیا ہے کہ اگر نجات چاہتے ہو تو محبت علی کو اختیار کرو، محبت علی سے متمسک رہو، اس کی مثال اگر جو کربلا میں آپ کو نظر کرنی ہے تو حر. اور یہ مثال جو حر بنتی ہے کہ محبت اہل بیت کس طرح ایک انسان کو جہنم سے نکال کر جنت میں لے جاتا ہے، یہ حور کی مثال, یہ مثال کے لیے ایک مقدمہ مجھے بیان کرنا ہے, اور یہ مقدمہ کربلا میں نہیں ہوتا, یہ مقدمہ اس وقت شروع ہوتا ہے کہ جب حسین کا قافلہ مکے سے روانہ ہو چکا کربلا کی طرف, راستے میں ایک ایسے مقام پر قافلہ پہنچتا ہے کہ جہاں بہت سارا پانی نظر آتا. حسین کہتے پانی بھر لو, جب پانی بھر چکے تو حسین کہتے اور بھر لو, اور بھر لو. کسی نے پوچھا آقا جتنی ضرورت تھی اتنا پانی لے لیا, کہتے نہیں اور بھرو کچھ مہمان آنے والے ہیں. مشکوں کو بھرا گیا, ناکوں پر ڈالا گیا, حمل کیا گیا, کارواں چلا. کچھ ہی دیر نہ گزری تھی کہ ایک مرتبہ سامنے سے ایک قافلہ نظر آیا. جیسے قافلہ قریب آیا پتا چلا فوج ہے, کس کی قیادت میں, حر کی قیادت میں. جیسے قریب آتا ہے حسین نے دیکھا کہ قافلے والے سپاہی تشنہ ہے, پیاسے ہے, پانی نہیں تھا, کچھ سوال کچھ جواب کچھ بات کچھ نہیں. پر سب سے پہلے حکم دیا, فرمان دیا پانی پلاؤ. پانی پلایا گیا, اتنا پانی پلایا گیا کہ ہور نے پیا, ہور کے سپاہیوں نے پیا, ہور کے جانوروں سے سیراب ہو چکے. جب میں مرحلہ ختم ہوا کہ ایک مرتبہ حسین پوچھتے ہیں بولو ہور کیا بات ہے, ہور پوچھتا ہے آقا کہاں جا رہے ہیں. حسین تم کہاں جا رہے, کہاں کا ارادہ, کہا کوفہ جانا. ہور کہتا ہے جانے نہیں دوں گا. حسین کہتا ہے مگر کیوں, خدا حکم ہے کہ تمہیں یہی ٹھہرا کر رکھنا ہے. حسین کہتے ہیں خطوط آئے ہیں کوفہ سے, مجھے بلایا گیا ہے, لوگوں نے بلایا مجھے کوفہ جانا ہے, اصلاً امکان نہیں یہاں سے جانے نہیں دوں گا. کوفہ نہیں جانے دیتے مجھے, پھر مکہ دوبارہ جانے دو, پھر بھی نہیں. گفتگو ذرا سخت ہوئی, گفتگو ذرا تند ہوئی. ایک مرتبہ جیسے گفتگو تند ہوئی حور کو غصہ آیا, اور غصے میں اس نے حسین کے فرس کے لجام کو ہاتھ میں لے لیا. جیسے فرس کے لجام کو ہاتھ میں لیا ایک مرتبہ حسین کو جلال آیا, ارے حور یہ کیا غصہ کی کر رہا ہے, سخلج کا امک, تیری ماں تیرے ماتم مگمے میں غم منائے, تیرے موت پر غم منائے, تجھ پر گریا کرے. یہ ایک توہین آمیز جملہ ہے, مگر آپ دیکھیے گا یہی تو فائدہ ہے اور یہی تو فرق ہے اماموں میں اور ہم میں. ہم جب کوئی سخت جملہ کہتے ہیں کسی کو اذیت کرنے کے لیے کہتے ہیں, مگر امام کوئی سخت جملہ کہتے ہیں تو کسی کی ہدایت کے لیے کرتے ہیں. سنیے گا یہ ہدایت, یہ مسئلہ بنائیں بیان کرنا ہے, دلیل پیش کرنی ہے, محبت اہل بیت کیسے سبب بنی حر کی نجات کا. سخلت کا امہ کیا حر, تیری ماں تیرا ماتم بنا, تجھ پر گریا کرے. جیسے سننا یہ توہین آمیز فکرہ, ایک مرتبہ روایت کہتی ہے, تاریخ بتاتی ہے, حور نے اپنے چہرے کو نیچے کی طرف کیا, کچھ سوچا, پھر ایک مرتبہ سر اٹھا کے کہتا ہے اے حسین عرب میں کوئی اور یہ فکرہ مجھ سے کہتا تو پلٹ کے یہی فکرہ میں اس سے کہہ دیتا, مگر حور کیا کرے, تیری ماں فاطمہ ہے. ارے فاطمہ مجھے مجبور کرتی ہے کہ یہ جملہ دوبارہ تجھ پر پلٹاؤں. مرحلہ ختم ہوا. یاد رکھیے گا مسائل کے آخری جملہ اسی سے مرتبط ہے. ایک مرتبہ قافلہ چلا کربلا میں, دوسری محرم کو وارد ہوا, دوسری محرم گزری, تیسری گزری, پھر وہ شب آئی جس کو ہم اور آپ شب عاشور کہتے ہیں, وہی شب کہ جس کی مہلت حسین نے عباس کے ذریعے سے عمر ساتھ سے لی. یہ درواقع مہلت لی نہیں تھی, ہاں بتایا گیا تھا یہ کہ حسین کو نماز پڑھنا بہت محبوب ہے, قرآن کی تلاوت بڑی محبوب ہے, خدا کی راہ میں عبادت کرنا, اس رات مصروف رہنا چاہتے ہیں, ایک رات کی مہلت دے دو. مگر در حقیقت حسین یہ رات کی مہلت کسی کو دے رہے تھے. اے حر ذرا سوچ لے تو کہاں جا رہا ہے. رات کی تاریکی جب چھائی, یہ تو قضیہ حسین کے خیموں میں ہوتا تھا, وہاں حر کے خیمے میں جیسے تاریکی چھائی, رواج بتاتی ہے کہ حر کا غلام ایک مرتبہ خیمے کے پردے کو ہٹاتا اور وارد ہوتا ہے. کیا دیکھتا ہے, عجیب حالت, حر پریشان, یہاں سے وہاں چکر کاٹ رہے, کبھی یہاں سے وہاں آ رہے, کبھی وہاں سے وہاں جا رہے. تو آقا ہاتھ جوڑ کر کہا, آقا دسترخوان لگ چکا ہے. مگر حر یہ ہے کہ اصن سنا ہی نہیں, پریشان مشغول کسی فکر میں. دوبارہ کہتا آقا کھانا لگ چکا ہے. جب دوسری مرتبہ حر نے جواب نہ دیا تو ایک مرتبہ آگے آتا ہے, جیسے نزدیک آیا ایک عجیب کیفیت حر کی دیکھتا ہے. کیا دیکھتا ہے کہ حر کا چہرہ زرد پڑ چکا ہے, ہاتھوں میں کپ کپی ہے, جسم تھرا رہا ہے, عجیب حالت. کہتا آقا سب خیریت سے تو ہے, سب خیریت سے تو ہے. اب جیسے متوجہ ہوا حر, ایک مرتبہ غلام کا ہاتھ پکڑتا ہے, خیمے کے باہر جاتا ہے, کچھ دور جاتا ہے اور اپنے غلام سے کہتا ہے ذرا سن کوئی آواز تو نہیں آ رہی تیرے کانوں میں. جی آقا آواز آ رہی. بولتے کون سی آواز آ رہی؟ کہا مجھے کچھ تسبیح کی آواز آ رہی, سبحان اللہ, اور بولے کوئی تلاوت قرآن کی آواز آ رہی, اور کوئی نمازیں پڑھ رہے, اور کچھ ننے ننے بچے کی آواز, العطش العطش ہائے پیاس. پھر ایک مرتبہ ہر ہاتھ پکڑتا ہے دوسری اور لے جاتا. اب سن کیا سنائی دیتا ہے؟ کہا کچھ لوگ شراب پی رہے ہیں, اور سن کچھ لوگ زنا کر رہے ہیں, اور سن کچھ لوگ جوا کھیل رہے. یہ کہنا تھا غلام کا کہ ایک مرتبہ حر نے کہا بس یہی کیفیت میں اپنے آپ کو پاتا ہوں, ایک طرف جنت ہے ایک طرف جہنم ہے. غلام پوچھتا آقا کیا ارادہ ہے؟ حر کہتا ہے کل سویرے بتاؤں گا. کل سویرے نماز ہو چکی کہ ایک مرتبہ حر اپنے گھوڑے پر سوار اپنے خیمے سے نکلا, کہاں؟ خیام حسینی کی طرف. جیسے آگے بڑھتا ہے بھائی آتا ہے, بھیا کہاں جا رہے؟ کہاں میں جا رہا ہوں حسین کے پاس, حسین کے پاس جا رہے, یہاں سے چھوڑ کر کہاں جا رہا ہوں؟ تو بھیا مجھے بھی ساتھ لے چلو. بھیا ساتھ ہوئے, تھوڑی دور نہ گئے تھے کہ بیٹا آیا, بابا کہاں جا رہے؟ تو بیٹا حسین کے پاس جا رہا, چل میرے ساتھ, جنت چاہیے نا تجھے جنت دلاتا. پھر آگے گئے تو غلام آیا, آقا نمک حلالی کا تو یہ واسطہ ہے, مجھے بھی ساتھ لے چلے. یہ چھوٹا سی مختصر سا قافلہ چلا, اب نصف راہ پہنچا تھا کہ ایک مرتبہ حر کے ذہن میں کچھ بات آئی. گھوڑے سے نیچے اترتا ہے, بیٹے کو بلاتا, بیٹا ذرا یہاں آنا. بیٹا آتا ہے, جیب سے رومال نکالا بیٹے کے ہاتھ میں دیا, ہاتھوں کو جوڑا, کہا بیٹا میرے ہاتھوں کو باندھ دو, رومال سے میرے ہاتھوں کو باندھ دو. بیٹے نے باندھا تو صحیح مگر پوچھا آقا یہ کیا بات ہے؟ کہا ارے حسین کے پاس جا رہا ہوں, خطا کار گنہگار بن کر قیدیوں کی صورت میں جانا چاہیے نا بیٹا. پھر پتہ نہیں کیا سوچا کہ ایک مرتبہ دوبارہ ایک کپڑا نکالا, کہا بیٹے ذرا میرے آنکھوں پہ تو پٹی باندھ دو. اب اس مرتبہ بھی بیٹے نے آنکھوں پر پٹی باندھی مگر پھر پوچھ لیا بابا یہ کس لیے؟ کہا ارے یہ گنہگار حسین کی آنکھوں میں آنکھیں کیسے ڈالے, قیدی بن کر جاتا ہوں تو پوری طرح قیدی لگوں, ہاتھ بندھے آنکھوں پر پٹی. چلتے ہوئے جیسے خیام حسینی کی طرف پہنچے وہاں حبیب ابن مظاہر نے دیکھا, ارے حر آ رہا ہے, عمر سعد کا کمانڈر آ رہا ہے. ایک مرتبہ حضرت ابو الفضل عباس کو بتایا, ابو الفضل عباس دیکھتے ہیں حیران, خیمے میں جاتے ہیں, آقا ایک مسئلہ ہے. حسین پوچھتے عباس کیا بات ہے؟ عباس کیا بات ہے؟ عباس کہتے آقا حر اپنی طرف آ رہا. جیسے حر کا نام سننا حسین کھڑے ہو گئے, ارے عباس اپنے فوجوں کو روک لو, میرا مہمان آ رہا ہے. ایک مرتبہ گھوڑے پر سوار دوڑتے ہوئے حر کے پاس گئے, جیسے حر کے قریب پہنچے اترتے ہیں, جیسے اترے حر کے بیٹے نے حر سے کہا بابا آقا حسین آ گئے. جیسے حسین کا نام سننا ایک مرتبہ حسین اپنے آپ کو حسین کے قدموں میں گرا لیا, ایک جملہ کہتا ہے اے فاطمہ کے لال کیا اس گنہگار کی گناہ بخش ہو سکتی ہے, معاف ہو سکتی ہے؟ ارے حسین کہے تو کیا کہے, جھکتے ہیں, ہور کو اٹھاتے ہیں, آنکھوں سے پٹی کھولتے ہیں, ہاتھوں کو کھولتے ہیں, گلے سے لگاتے ہیں. ارے ہور انت اخی فی دنیا وفی الاخرہ, دنیا میں بھی صحیح آخرت میں بھی تم میرے بھائی ہو. ہور یہ معافی کی کیا بات کر رہے, मगर ये कहना था कि अब हुसैन पलटकर एक सा जुमला कहते हैं, कहते हुर जब तुम आए अभी एक जुमला तुमने कहा, एक जुमला हुसैन अर्ज करना चाहते हैं। कहते आका फरमाइए ये खादिम आपकी खिदमत में है। हुसैन कहते नहीं वो बात नहीं है, बस हुसैन तुमसे ये कहना चाहता है, हुसैन तुमसे ये कहना चाहता है कि आज हुसैन तुमसे बड़ा शर्मिंदा है। अरे आका ये क्या कह रहे हैं? कहते उस वक्त जब दुश्मन बन के आए थे तो सैराब किया, आज दोस्त बनकर आए एक कूजा पानी का नसीब, और मुझे माफ करो। अरे आप सोचिए आजादारो हुर के दिल पर क्या गुजरी होगी। अरे हुरी तो वो था कि हुसैन को करबला लाया था, हुरी तो वो था कि जिसने पानी बंद किया था, अब हुसैन कहते हुर में शर्मिंदा। अजादारो हुर हाथ जोड़कर हुसैन से कहता है आका इसी गुस्ताखी, आका इसी गुस्ताखी, मगर हुर आपका सबसे बड़ा गुनहगार है, आखिर में आया है, मगर एक गुजारिश है हुर आखिर में भले आया हो पहले मरने की इजाजत दे। हुसैन ने कहा आज तो सभी को मरना है, जा हुर इजाजत दी। एक मर्तबा हुर चलते हैं, घोड़े पर सवार होते हैं, मख्तल में जाते हैं। जैसे थोड़ी दूर चले तो कुछ जहन में याद आया, कुछ बात जहन में आई, घोड़े को पलटाया, फिर आई खैमे की तरफ, कहा मेरा बेटा कहां है। बेटा जब सामने आया कहा बेटा तकदम मैदान में जा। बाबा क्या बात है, आप गए तो फिर लौट आए? कहते तू नहीं समझेगा, मैं देखना चाह रहा हूं एक जवान बेटे का दाग कैसे होता है। एक जवान बेटा आए अकबर। एक मर्तबा हुसैन हुर का बेटा जाता है, जंग करता है, शहीद हो जाता है। अब नौबत आती है हुर की, हुर जाता है जंग करने, अजीब जंग करता है, मुझे पता नहीं कितनों को सिन्नार किया, मगर एक वक्त ऐसा आता है कि दुश्मनों का हुजूम, दुश्मनों का हमला, तलवारें और नेजे जो चलने लगे, एक मर्तबा जमीन पे गिरा, अस्सलाम अलैक या अबा अब्दुल्लाह या सैयदी अदरिकनी, ए इमाम मेरी मदद कीजिए। जैसे इमाम पहुंचते हैं, देखा कुछ आखिरी लम्हात है। अब गौर तवज्जो करिएगा आयो, और गौर तवज्जो करिएगा आजादारों, जैसे हुसैन पहुंचते हैं आखिरी लम्हात है हुर के, देखा पेशानी पर जख्म है, खून बह रहा है। एक मर्तबा नजदीक आए, हुर का सर अपने जानों पर रखे। अरे मैं कहूंगा हुर कितना खुश नसीब, हुसैन का जानू तेरा सर। मगर जैसे हुसैन ने देखा कि हुर की पेशानी से खून जारी, एक मर्तबा अपने अबा के दामन से एक रूमाल निकाला, फातिमा का रूमाल। अरे अजादारों जरा तवज्जो करिएगा, हुसैन फातिमा का रूमाल निकालते हैं। एक जुमला एक सवाल मैं आपसे कहूंगा, एक सवाल करना है। वहां हजारों का मजमा था यजीदी फौज में, हजारों के मजमे में मुझे आप ये बता दीजिए कि क्यों सिर्फ हुर वो शख्स था जिसके जहन में ये बात आई कि यजीदियत को छोड़कर मैं हुसैनियत में आऊं। कहिए मुझे हजारों का मजमा, मगर किसी को ये ख्याल ना आया। अगर ख्याल आया तो हुर को ये आया, मुझे पता नहीं इसका इसकी वजह क्या है, मगर मेरा दिल कहता है एक बात है, एक बात है जिसकी वजह से उस 30,000 के मजमे को ये हुसैनियत के पास आना नसीब न हुआ। क्योंकि ये ख्याल जो हुर के जहन में आया वो खुदा के तरफ से तौफीकात थी, और ये तौफीक आपको पता है, मेरा दिल कहता है ये एक अमल की जजा जो खुदा हुर को दे रहा। मोहब्बत अहले बैत अज़ादारों, जैसे ही हुसैन ने रूमाल निकाला, अजादारों वो मरहला आपको याद है जब हुसैन ने हुर से कहा तेरी माँ तेरे मातम में बैठे, उस वक्त हुर ने कहा अरे फातिमा न होती तो मैं तुझ पर यह जुमला कहता। उस वक्त शायद खुदा ने कहा हो ए हुर तूने मेरी कनीज की लाज रख ली, तूने फातिमा की इज्जत रख ली, मैं तुझे फातिमा के पास भेजूंगा। इसकी दलील फातिमा का रूमाल। हुसैन रूमाल निकालते हैं, ए हुर amma fatima ka rumal tera bahut shukriya amma fatima ki laaj rakh li bhare majme mein amma fatima ki izzat rakh li ye rumal le jab hauz e kausar par amma fatima ko milna kehna husain salam bhejha usse ya alladheen zalamu ay munqalib yanqalib ma sama husain
Yeah.